Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. God's Word transforms lives. Our guest today can relate to a skinny preacher by the name of David Wilkerson, who founded Teen Challenge. You might know of David Wilkerson. Years ago, a movie was made called The Cross and the Switchblade, the story of Nicky Cruz, the gangster in New York City, how God used David Wilkerson to reach into, some might say, the hellhole of life, as it were, with people in such great pain and violence, the gang life, and reach the top leader in Nicky Cruz. A skinny David Wilkerson, used by God, young man of great faith. Well, he has been a role model for our guest today. And through this testimony and through the extent of his life, God called Curtis Suzaki to the west side of Oahu 7 years ago to find the lost, to teach them the Word of God using only a Bible. He chose to live in one of the most notorious neighborhoods on Oahu and went to minister at the beaches of Nanakuli. Through God's word alone, lives have been transformed, families reunited, and communities impacted for Christ. If God can use Curtis, Pastor Curtis, in the lives of people, he could certainly use you. And if God can reach people like the ones Pastor Curtis has reached and continues to do so, he can reach you. That's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to let every single person who listens today, as you yourself open turn on your radio or turn on the internet, click on and listen, to hear the love of Jesus Christ for you, no matter how far you've gone, how bad it gets, there is always hope in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who shed his blood on that cross to wash our sins away, who was buried, and who rose again on the third day. The living Christ is calling you. Pastor Curtis Suzaki is the founder and senior pastor of Zion Ipuka, a discipleship ministry for the homeless and drug addicted. He's ministered to the homeless, the drug addicted, ex-convicts, and mentally ill for 15 years. He opened two transitional houses, one for couples and families that is still in operation in Makaha. He's a chaplain at Hawaii National Guard Youth Challenge and been pastor, Bible teacher, mentor, and counselor for many over the years. He's a graduate of Iolani School and the University of Oregon, where he got his degree in English. He lives in Nanakuli, where he is affectionately called Pastor Curtis by people on the west side. He's married to Maki and has one daughter, Christine, who's a senior at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Pastor Curtis, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Pastor, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kailua on the windward side of Oahu.
What was it like growing up there?
Pretty comfortable. Grew up in a suburb of Kailua and went to elementary school. It was in Aikahi Park Elementary, and eventually went to Kailua Intermediate School. And then on to Iolani.
Now, after graduating, you go to the University of Oregon, the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened after you graduated? You had your degree in English. How did God lead you after that?
Well, in my senior year of college, my father passed away. And so up to that point, my plans were to stay in Oregon. I was with the Navigators, which is another campus ministry. And I was planning to maybe go on staff with them and stay in Oregon. And then all of a sudden, my father passed away. So that sort of changed the plans that I made.
Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Yeah, my father was a big influence on me. He was a dentist and a very good father. We grew up with three brothers, and he was a really good father to all of us.
How did you become a Christian?
When I was in Iolani, I think it was my sophomore year, a friend invited me to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting during lunch. And so eventually I kept going there and eventually received the Lord in one of the meetings.
What was it at that time that really touched you about the Lord?
Well, one of the leaders took out the Four Spiritual Laws tract, and at the end it had like a comparison of two scenarios. One was one that was in chaos, the other was all neat and nice, and I was asked, which one would you rather be? And of course, I chose the nice one. And also, I there was something about going to heaven, and I wanted to go to heaven and make sure that I had that assurance.
So you have your degree in English. Your father passes away. How did that affect you?
Well, I think it really was a turning point for me, because again, I was planning to just stay on in Oregon. My two brothers were in dental school at that time. My younger brother was a sophomore at Iolani, and so things looked pretty good. There was no problem, so I thought, you know, I just stayed there. But then when my father died, it just like turned things around. My brother needed a parent, like a father figure, so I just decided to finish up quickly and move back to Hawaii.
What was that transition like?
Was hard. You know, I left a lot of friends, and so I had to find a new, I guess, path, so to speak. But I knew that I had kind of made a vow when my father passed away that this was just a way of God telling me your life is not going to be just like any ordinary life. So I sort of knew something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a very special ministry. It's unique in many respects because you're doing something that really it's a challenge to the body of Christ at large. You're doing something, you and your family are doing something that Christians, Christ followers know the need is there. Mm. And some get involved periodically, maybe to quell a guilty conscience. But you did something out of the ordinary, left the comforts of your, one part of the island, Kailua, and a real promising future, having been very well educated, well trained, to go and move to, some would say, the roughest part of the island. When we come back from our break, Curtis, I want you to explain how that happened, how God spoke to you, why you did it, when you did it, and what happened in your heart for you to have the kind of love and compassion that you've had. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from Pastor Curtis Suzaki. You know, a lot of us can really talk a good game. We can talk the Christianese. We can quote the scriptures. We can speak the language. We know how to move about within the Christian cultural context. But when a need is there, how many of us actually do something about it. And the thing about Pastor Curtis Suzaki is that not only has he done something about it, there is a sustainability to the way that he's done it. When you talk to, if I've heard people share testimonies, people who have been just swept aside from society because of drug addiction, their lives in shambles. No one wants to touch them. No one wants to reach them. But Curtis Suzaki hears God's call and becomes Jesus to them. What a profound impact. He'll share more when we come back. More with Pastor Curtis Suzaki. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He is a man of the word, meaning he knows the scriptures. He studied, he graduated from International College and graduate school. He got his Master of Arts in Religion in Biblical Studies, as well as his degree from University of Oregon. And his background is such that the Lord has opened up a door for him to do a ministry that you would think a little bit unusual for a person like him. A tall, slender man, kind of like his role model or mentor, David Wilkerson. But a real heart of compassion. I'm speaking of Pastor Curtis Suzaki. He is the founder and pastor of Zion Ipuka Ministry. We'll talk about that ministry that God birthed through his vision and leadership. Zion Ipuka. In fact, to find out more, Facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. Facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm grateful that you're with us today. It's a blessing. And it's a blessed day because of the inspiration, even the challenge, perhaps even the conviction of what God will do in our hearts as we listen to my dear friend today. To find out more about our program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com to get this program in its entirety, this and other resources just for you. thegoodlifehawaii.com. GoodLifeWithDanny.com. Pastor Curtis, how did you end up going to Nanakuli, living there, and starting the ministry Zion Ipuka?
Well, previous to moving to Nanakuli, I was associate pastor in Kaneohe. It was a small Baptist church called Fellowship Baptist. And they had an outreach ministry in the Waianae side for the homeless. Previous to that, I had been doing homeless ministry in Chinatown, the downtown area, so it wasn't anything new. But the location was different. But I wanted to go out there because there was a high population of homeless over there.
So you go there,
mm-hmm.
and you're making the move. Mm-hmm. What was going on in your heart?
Well, I was thinking about my family, mainly my daughter, because since I was already going out there, I became a youth pastor out in Nanakuli first. And so I had already made some connections there. I knew some of the people. I was even getting to know the homeless out there. So it wasn't going to be a huge, you know, I mean, as much a shock as it was to my family, especially my daughter who had just was getting ready to graduate from Kailua Intermediate. And so, you know, that would be a complete change of location for her.
How did she go about the transition?
Well, the first 2 weeks when we moved out there, she wouldn't leave the house. The neighborhood I live in is a pretty notorious neighborhood, even in Nanakuli. And that's just the place where God brought us. It was across the street from a large homeless population. So it was, you know, I wanted to live there on purpose.
When you talk about homeless population, some watch on TV or see it on their iPhone or iPad, as you watch the news on their computer. What is it like living there among the homeless?
They're not really bad people. They're like you and I. It's just that they made some bad choices. They had some really tough situations in their lives. And so, you know, they're people, basically.
What kind of situations have they had in their lives?
Well, drug addiction, of course, is a big one. But drugs is something that they get into because of other things that happen in their lives, like abuse or some kind of problems in the family, relationships. Sometimes mental illness is another one.
Do you find that it continues, it perpetuates from generation to generation?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a cycle called the cycle of homelessness. So a lot of these people were in public housing at one time. They grew up in poverty. They grew up in dysfunctional families and you know, parents that were abusive. So it doesn't happen just overnight.
So you had to come in with a vision and a long-term plan. You've been doing it year after year. What was that vision or plan that you felt God had given to you?
Well, I think more initially it was a calling. I really felt a calling to the less fortunate. That started around the time when my father passed away. It was just opened my eyes to all the need out there and the needy and the less fortunate. I grew up in a pretty, you know, comfortable family, went to private school. I was provided for everything, and I had very functional upbringing. So, I really felt that it was a calling to a different type of situation, different people.
Did you have doubts?
Along the way, yes. I just plunged into the homeless ministry. First in, again, downtown was the first ministry I was a part of. And then to the Waianae Coast. But along the way, I think there were times when I, even in Chinatown, in the west side, I wanted to kind of give up. It was too hard and not enough fruit, so to speak.
When you talk about wanting to give up, it resonates, it strikes a chord in the hearts of a listener today because they are contemplating giving up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a number of things.
Right.
It could be work, it could be family, it could be a relationship,
mm-hmm.
it could be a ministry even. Give us some of the circumstances that caused you to, you know, even dwell upon for even a moment or maybe a lengthy period of time giving up.
Well, when circumstances don't go your way, when people don't respond, you don't feel appreciated, when you don't get support from other people and organizations, it gets tough. And of course, money is always a worry, concern.
How would you work through that?
A lot of prayer. you really got to pray. I mean, even to this, you know, recent challenges that I've faced, it really came down to just praying, asking God to remove the walls, remove the obstacles, and just to see the light.
Give us a glimpse. What kind of obstacles recently have you had to face?
Well, oddly enough, there was this fundraiser that we're planning, and we have it every year. It's a golf tournament, and it's always a challenge, and it always is stressful, and it seems like a small thing, but, you know, God tells us that if we're faithful in the little things, we'll be faithful in much. It was a little thing on the onset, but for me, it was a big thing. It caused me a lot of worry. So I just committed 40 days of prayer to this event.
Well, you're a man of prayer. I had the privilege of playing in your tournament and being a part of that. A very enjoyable time. I appreciated the hard work that you and your team, your leaders and volunteers all put into it. And so how was it after? How did you feel when it was all done?
Oh, elated. Totally elated. I mean, things happened that we did not expect at all. I mean, we had Mrs. Hawaii as our guest speaker, and we had a lot of golfers, more than we ever had, and just the beautiful weather, people's response, you know, they had a good time. And
well, I can say my father and I enjoyed being a part of that, so thank you for allowing us to participate. And but it just goes to show, doesn't it, Curtis, that when you step out in faith,
mm-hmm.
and you rely on God, it's not just stepping out and doing it on your own. Hey, mm-hmm. God, thank you for the assignment. I'll take it from here. In your case, you got an assignment. There's what we would call trepidation. There's anxiety, even fear.
Mm-hmm.
But you're driven to your knees,
mm-hmm.
and you pray, you fast, and
mm-hmm.
You see God move.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm finding is it's really the story of Zion Ipuka, the story of the lives that are changed, families mended, people healed. You mentioned about a cycle of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be safe to say that there, in spiritual terms, we might call it a curse, a generational curse
mm-hmm.
that needs to be broken?
Oh.
Would you concur?
Yes, it's definitely bondage. It's victimization, feeling you're the victim. And a lot of these people that, you know, are homeless or less fortunate, they have never grown up emotionally, a lot of them. And so they're like children, and they feel that they have no direction, and they oftentimes will blame it on their upbringing.
A victimized mentality.
Mm.
Having grown up emotionally, that really stands out. What do you mean by that, growing up emotionally?
Problem solving. They're very poor. They didn't learn to problem solve. I'm also, you know, I'm a teacher at the public schools, and I, with the special ed, you know, the emotionally children or kids, actually. And that's it comes down to that. Just the poor choices, poor problem solvings, or poor problem solving, so they make poor choices, basically.
How do you help that?
They need a father figure. That's the first thing. So I'm sort of, you know, I tell people, you know, if you got to look to me in the beginning, that's fine. But one day I'm going to have to get out of the way and you're going to have to see the real father.
Well, when it comes to leading and guiding, you have been used by the Lord to bring hope to many. When we come back from our break, let's talk about a few individual lives that you have seen the Lord touch. Tell us the story of these friends become, as I've seen in a way, become almost like family members for you. And there's a way of sort of living together and seeing them in their brokenness and in their shame, and sometimes even beyond shame, but then seeing them regain their dignity through Jesus Christ and walk in the way of the Lord with new life and new hope. More from Pastor Curtis Suzuki. He'll share those things, make a difference to you too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You know, you can look at a picture and, they say a picture speaks a thousand words. And you can see the radiance. I'm looking at a photograph of Pastor Curtis Suzuki in a radiant smile with the people whom he has seen. They are the leaders in his ministry today, many of whom have gone through his program and actually seen the Lord, experienced the personal touch of Jesus Christ in their shattered lives. And the Lord has made them whole. And when you see a person emancipated from the tentacles of sin that continually pull you back through addiction, through a curse, generational continuance of homelessness and degradation. It's a marvel to see what Jesus Christ has and continues to do in the lives of people. And that's why I say, my brother, my sister, my friend, as you listen today, the Lord sends Pastor Curtis Suzuki here to remind you that there is hope in Jesus, and it's more than just a happy sounding word or a platitude strung together as a good sounding phrase. No. This is for real. And maybe you need to go find it at the local church that you've known all your life and go talk to the pastor that's there, or connect with us. Connect with me, Danny, thegoodlifeway.com, and we could connect you somehow. Or facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. That's Pastor Curtis's web address, facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. He's the founder and pastor of Zion Ipuka, a discipleship ministry for the homeless and drug addicted. Pastor Curtis, tell us stories. I love stories. I've always loved stories. Mm-hmm. We love stories. Mm-hmm. Tell us a story of one of your dear leaders and the transformation you've seen.
Well, our ministry actually started with men. There was one guy in particular. You know, there in Acts it talks about the Macedonian person that appeared to Paul, and because of that he went to Macedonia. And very similar to this, there's this guy, his name is Lee, and he was sort of like a Nicky Cruz. You talk about David Wilkerson, it was very similar. He was one of the worst of the worst, living across the street from where we moved. So I had met him as a youth pastor in Nanakuli Church, Nanakuli Baptist, and he was coming there to receive food and handouts. I met him there, and then that was before we moved out to the west side. And his visage just stuck in my head, you know. And I told him, if I ever move out here, I'm going to go visit you. And so when we did move out, and it happened to be across the street from where he was living on the beach, I did go and look for him.
Visiting someone on the beach. Take us into the world of homelessness, living on the beach. What's that like?
Okay. Well, so he told me that he was under a sea grape tree. That's all I knew. And it was across the street from where we moved. Shortly after we moved out there, I went across the street, and the tents were lined up. The Leeward Coast, the shore is, you know, it's shoreline and highway. And so the tents were pretty much just lined up along the highway on the shore. And sure enough, I walked, I went from the backside, because I felt the backside would be a little less threatening. And sure enough, I found a sea grape tree and I found him, and he was there.
Is there a semblance of order in the way that the homeless live? You can be driving by and they look, it's just like a scattering of tents and dwellings. Mm-hmm. But is there some kind of a unspoken or rule that they live by?
They're not trying to hide. They'll sit on the highway. They'll watch the cars go by. They're not trying to hide. They want to be noticed. A lot of them, they don't care. They have a lot of family that lives across the street in the neighborhoods. It's their choice a lot of the times to be out there, and you know, so they're not trying to hide from that. But they just feel, I think they're trying to show that, you know, they're out there, that they, you know, a lot of times you said that they're forgotten, and this is their way of saying, I'm not forgotten, I'm here. So, you know, it's sort of, and then they have a very family, you know, like a community. Normally the little tent gatherings that they have, you know, where they live in tents, they know each other, they help each other out, and they also steal from each other, but, you know, you know, that comes with the territory.
So they help each other out and they steal from each other at the same time.
Yeah. Well, when they're desperate for their what they need, they'll steal.
Because now we're even talking about children, right?
There were children initially on the beach. Yeah, that was a sad thing to see them. And they would be showering out, you know, in the open. They'd have, like, little curtains and stuff. But, you know, it's still a lack of privacy. Any passerby could see it. But, if, you know, just praise the Lord that eventually they did get moved off. The shelters initially targeted the children. So the shelters started to come out around that time. And then most of the children were off the beach by then.
Is there a hierarchy?
And sometimes there's a head person that everyone looks to that has the resources, knows people, can provide, and is the go-to person. So that maybe, you know, there's not a like real organized hierarchy, but there are usually leaders in the camp.
So you go in, the visage of Lee is indelible.
Mm-hmm.
You go under this, what kind of tree did you say it was?
It was a sea grape tree.
Sea grape tree. And you see him.
Mm-hmm.
What was that encounter like?
Well, I didn't know what was going on. Later on, I found out he and his wife were using drugs in the tent. But I called out and I said, hey, Lee, you know. And then there was a rustle, things going on in the tent. Then he comes out and he says, hey, Pastor Chris. And he was really surprised. And I was sort of surprised and happy at the same time, you know, that I could find him and that he was there, you know, and so, you know, we were able to start our, I guess, relationship.
What happened after that?
Well, I found out that he was a very bright guy. He had been in the military, was in special forces, and he had a life before that. He knew the Bible very well. He was a member of a church and even a leader at one time. And then, you know, through bad circumstances, he just ended up out there.
So, talking about him, how did you see his life change through future encounters?
Well, so he was really the first guy that I started to work with. Just like David Wilkerson, all I had is a Bible. He was like the terror of the beach. He used to have a bandana. He'd wear it on his head. He'd be walking up and down the highway looking for fights. He would beat up his wife. His wife and him were living in the same tent. And, you know, but that's the guy that God pointed me to. And I just brought out my Bible. I said, let's start reading the Bible together. And that eventually became a Bible study. Just a casual Bible study every week.
Every week,
mm-hmm.
you would meet with him.
Right.
And he would be there? Would he look forward to it? Or?
Oh, yeah. He was always there. And when the Purpose-Driven Life came out, we used that as our, you know, guide, and we went through that. And he was always hungry for the Word. But he was still, you know, doing his thing out there. But that Tuesday, he committed to spending time with me.
How long?
We spent about an hour. We'd also, you know... That time we were also bringing out food. Food is always a big part of what we, you know, our ministry. So we would bring out food for the rest of the people there. I would pull Lee on the side. Eventually, you know, we would kind of combine those two things, you know. And so I would pull Lee on the side and we would have our little meeting.
How long did that go on?
That went on for just about a few months because we talk about food, and that's always a sort of a sensitive area about the homeless that we don't want to enable them. My purpose in bringing out food was always to, you know, get to know the people and encourage them to a better life, you know, to pursue a better life. So I really encouraged him to get off the beach.
And did he do it?
Yeah. So, you know, of course you can say, you need to get off, but then where do you go, right? But then this good, you know, fortune, I guess, luck, God's providence, there was a home, a Christian faith-based clean and sober house that was opening up around that time. And so I had a place to send him, and so eventually he did go there.
So this is, the Lord started you off with a big one then. a tough one,
mm-hmm.
a tough challenge.
Mm-hmm.
As time has gone on,
mm-hmm.
you've seen the Lord work through Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Did you lead him to the Lord?
Oh yeah, I baptized him on Halloween. See, he called me recently and he remembered, you know. He actually was co-director at, of all places, Teen Challenge. He didn't even know the background of Teen Challenge. He didn't know anything about David Wilkerson, but he eventually just ended up in that ministry. And now he's on his own. He has a place with his wife and he's working. But, you know, he called and he said, I remember, you know, Halloween, you baptized us and I just wanted to tell you, you know, thank you.
And that was the beginning of many other lives whom the Lord has used you mm-hmm. to touch.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from our break, Pastor Curtis, let's talk about more lives. But you have a scripture verse that mm-hmm. really stands as sort of your life verse
mm-hmm.
from the book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, I'd like for you to share that verse with us. I'd love to hear the word. It might be an inspiration, might be maybe mm-hmm. a favorite verse of someone else. But mm-hmm. why it's your favorite verse?
Mm-hmm.
Why was it that even in high school,
mm-hmm.
this verse was like your, you know, you get a chance to write the verse, a quote
mm-hmm.
in your senior section?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the quote that he used, this verse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Pastor Curtis Suzaki sharing a dynamic life to people who are struggling. He'll share more about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Quite often the hardest thing to do in life is to keep going. I mean, yeah, just to one foot in front of the next, slowly by slowly, trudging along, deliberately, even when you don't see a whole lot of fruit. Perhaps even when you don't see any fruit. I think it takes a certain kind of person, and God knows who he sets aside for these tests. It's a sterling level of character and consistency and persistence. But someone that can continue to move forward in the midst of all the discouragement, all the distractions, and just the barrage of feeling like, why? But they keep going. It's certainly not a perfect world. It's not a perfect scenario. I guess I say those things because my guest today has lived life that way. But you know what? Over time, he's begun to see fruit. His name is Pastor Curtis Suzaki. Mm-hmm. Pastor Curtis is the founder and pastor of Zion Ipuka. It's a discipleship ministry for the homeless and the drug addicted. And those are the people that if you're homeless, you're on drugs, you're an ex-convict, you're mentally ill, this man of God has compassion for you. But more than just compassion to say, oh, be warmed and be filled, I care about you, God has led him to develop programs, and through consistency in the development of other leaders, more people are being reached. Mm. Zion Ipuka, you can find out more, facebook.com/Zion Ipuka, the name of the ministry of Pastor Curtis Suzaki, strong, powerful ministry growing on the west side of Oahu. Pastor Curtis, what is your favorite scripture verse?
My favorite scripture is Psalm 34:4, which says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Wow. Why? Why is that your favorite?
I got this verse when I was in high school, and like you said, it was my high school quote. I think I was a very fearful person growing up. I mean, I had everything, but I guess when you have, you feel it can be taken away. And then also, just the fear of the future, uncertainty, you know, what if, what's going to happen next? And I think this verse God gave me to take that anxiety away.
How did it take the anxiety away?
Well, got me through high school for one. The other is during that really tough period in my life. I think that's when I really felt the impact of that verse when my father passed away. That 1 year was just a time of, you know, just calling out to the Lord. And this verse, you know, is the verse that pulled me through, basically.
Through your life, Pastor, have you experienced emotional downtimes? Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced depression?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My father did suffer from depression. Talk about family curses. That was our family curse. We all kind of struggle with that, you know. That's always like, you know, something we have to deal with or be aware of, you know. So I went through times of depression, definitely.
Well, you're certainly not alone. And I guess the reason I asked that, because people struggle with that. People mm-hmm. deal with that. They mm-hmm. live with that. Mm-hmm. How has the Lord helped you to cope with depression?
Well, you know, to trust in him, because we cannot deal with it or get over it ourselves. It's just something that comes upon you. You just feel this feeling of blue, you know, and it's sometimes just can't get out of it by yourself. And then but when you call out to the Lord, it's some like a cloud just lifts off you. It's really unexplainable in human terms.
You pray?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you have others that pray for you?
Sometimes, yes.
There's a kindred spirit in this respect, too, because mm-hmm. I too struggle with that. Mm. And a lot of it has... I went through a period like that for years. Mm. Very dark depression, much of which I would look back and say triggered from my fall. Mm. But somewhere there's a depth. Mm. There's a depth that you behold, mm-hmm. Pastor Curtis. It's unspoken, it's intangible, but people know that you understand. There's a certain embedded compassion that exists. How has that related with people who are homeless, drug addicted, ex-convicts? Mm. Have you seen that commonality with them as well?
Towards them, yes. I mean, in order to do this kind of ministry, you have to have compassion on people. You have to see people, you know, as God sees them. And, you know, that really fuels you to keep going, I think. Without that compassion, it's really hard to do this kind of ministry.
Do you find that many of the people that you serve, do they struggle with depression too?
Some of them do. Especially, you know, the hardest time for the less fortunate, you know, those that have gone through those things is holidays. Because holidays are real painful times for them, and that's when they revert. That's when they get real down. That's when they isolate. Yeah.
Is it a recollection of something that happened during the holiday in the years past?
Yes.
Give us an example.
Well, there was one instance where this person had an abusive father, and he I guess was going to receive a gift on Christmas, and then he happened, you know, it was all wrapped up. He opened the gift prematurely, and his father found out and just took the gift and broke it into pieces. And to this day, he won't celebrate Christmas.
So it scarred him to that level, and it lasted to this very day.
Yes, and then there's others like it's just the time when they would, you know, really mask their pains in the drugs and the alcohol during the holiday season, and so they don't really want to go back there. They don't want to remember that type of life.
What do you all do at Zion Ipuka during the holidays, knowing these things?
A lot of them will go to these meetings, like the Alcoholics Anonymous and stuff like that. They have a lot of meetings during that time, and so we, you know, we want them to be in a healthy place, so we let them go. And the main thing is they have to get out and go somewhere, not just stay within themselves.
You are really touching a very tender spot in our society. We need more Pastor Curtis Suzuki's who are willing to go and be faithful and have a divine stick-to-itiveness with the work at hand that the Lord has called you to. You have a team of leaders that work with you that you've developed over the years. What ways could we help you? What ways could someone stand by you? Someone who's not standing by you right now, but what are areas where help is needed?
Right now, I think, you know, we're starting to, I guess, harness more support. I think you hit it pretty much. It's not a easy ministry. It's not a glamorous ministry. So it's hard to in this church help for this kind of thing. They might help out with a feeding or things like that. But they, as far as going further, which, you know, again, the feeding is only the beginning of developing trust, relationships, which eventually leads the homeless to want to do better in their lives and get off, you know, get out of homelessness. But people are afraid of that, going further, you know, than just the serving part.
Maybe, and Pastor, you certainly need help people coming, but and maybe I hope I'm not speaking out of... Just a thought. Maybe it's not a whole lot of people. Maybe it's a handful or less people who have a calling that is so distinct. Maybe as you're listening today, it's something you cannot shake off. It's a calling like similar to, you said, well, what he's doing is what the Lord's been saying to me all along. There's a restlessness. There's There's almost a restlessness and a weariness of being disobedient. And you've got to throw yourself in. But now, you know, hey, look, discipleship is relationship. It's not just a feeding one time and placating yourselves. I did my duty. But someone that's willing to get involved with Zion Ipuka ministry, the Zion Ipuka church, and stay and commit and give your life as God was calling you. This is your lot. This is your calling in life to serve these dear ones. Homeless, drug addicts, mentally ill, ex-convicts, and build meaningful, lifelong, eternal relationships with them. Hey, that's fulfilling the Great Commission. Pastor Curtis, maybe three or four of these committed ones, they're going to go with you long haul.
Yeah, but, definitely.
So, Pastor, we say that's important, but you also need the other help as well. So it's an all-encompassing involvement. Pastor, if they wanted to get in touch, how can, I've been giving the facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. Are there other ways that someone could get in touch with you?
Yes, we also have a website, zionipuka.bellstrike.com. Bellstrike, like the ring of bell. And I think you can also get that on Facebook. You can always call me. Can come down. You know, we're usually at the Waianae Boat Harbor on Fridays at 5 p.m. We do a feeding out there. There's also a church service that one of my leaders now is part of on Sunday at the Boat Harbor at 11 a.m. There's hard not to find us. And just look for a beat up blue van, and you probably know that we're there.
A beat up blue van and Pastor Curtis. Just ask for Pastor Curtis, and not hard to find. But again, it's not a glamorous ministry, but it's a ministry of substance, one that certainly the Lord notices. And there's a sparkle in his eye as he looks at Zion Ipuka. And Pastor Curtis, that's why it's such a privilege to have you with us today. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
I hope you've been encouraged by these very heart-touching, motivational, ground-level lessons of faith. This is where it really matters, as Pastor Curtis today, Curtis Suzuki, has shared. You can find out more about him, facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. You know, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. We've got a special presentation there. Click Get to Know Jesus. And to help with your financial support, to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Partners. 2 Peter verse 1 verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Pastor Curtis Suzuki, facebook.com/Zion Ipuka. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.